Oh my goodness, it's coming down to the wire here, Jamie. How did the how do the hills of Connecticut treat your legs?
Oh, they completely and utterly broke me, actually. You know, I'm on the home stretch, and I'm thinking, yeah, I've only got a few marathons to go. I'm like, I'm on, that's it. I'm home and dry now, effortless. I've just got to run a few more, and then me and my dad had to run a 43-mile run just to make sure we make it to Gloucester on time. And of course, he turns up with his big, massive 2-week holiday suitcase, and he's like, "Right, so I'll throw this on top of your Caesar on top of the stroller." I'm like, "Dad, did you not really think about this at all?" So we throw that onto Caesar. Honestly, it was like pushing a train.
Oh my gosh.
Out of all the videos that I've watched, it seems like you're limping into the finish line here. I mean, that the hills of Connecticut seem like they just did doing you in. You're earning every penny that you're raising for these sick children.
It's important to just blame Dad.
Yeah, so you know that's convenient. I think that's what children do, though.
It doesn't matter that you're his seed, whatever
he did to get you where you are today. Just lay all the, because that's what us rotten children do. We just blame our parents for everything. Oh goodness!
I gotta say though, he did join in. So like his legs were completely busted up because he ran a marathon before on no training, and so we got him a bike so he could pedal alongside me. But as we were hitting the Connecticut hills, it went into the night, and every time we hit a huge hill, we were going out. And fair play, my dad, he got off the bike, and he got behind Caesar, so we were pushing together in kind of mission mode, and every time we got to the bottom of the hill, the toughest part, and they were the steepest hills of the entire run, was actually trying to hold Caesar back, the stroller, holding it back, and then my
legs were going up, but going down.
Yeah,
and so my knee's a bit buggered now from that, and I don't have any time to heal. There's nothing I can do. So I think I probably will just have to run with it now. But luckily, I am on the home stretch, so I can just run through it.
Oh yeah. My goodness!
Are you feeling pressured to finish on the schedule?
There's no choice, is there?
Right, that's adding a stress that you didn't have before as much. It's an added stress. Yeah.
I would say
that's okay.
I would say the thing that I would be thankful for, because this time of year here, we can get monstrous snowstorms.
Yeah, that's not.
Did you have
snow
down in Connecticut at all? Or I know down the Cape. Yeah.
It dumped snow, yeah. So we ran yesterday kind of running over a bit of snow.
Oh, God, I can't imagine.
We're not going to see that, I don't believe.
Yeah, do you have a video coming out today?
What is the weather like for Wednesday for the final finish?
It's going to be gorgeous, gorgeous.
There we go. That's meant to be.
It's sunny. It's going to be sunny at 4 p.m., 37 degrees.
Excellent.
Ooh, that's good running weather.
Yeah, that's good running weather.
Right? So are we all going to take a little dip in the sea at the end?
Yep, and it's going to be pretty close to high tide, so that's going to work out really well.
Wait, I just want to, for the record, Pat, that was Pat that said she's going to take a dip in the ocean with you. I didn't, that was Joey Shimatao did not say he's going to dip in the, we do that on January 1st when the water temperature is around 50 degrees.
Right.
The water temperature right now is 38 degrees, so I'm not really, you can dip your hand in the water, you feel free to take a nice long, backstroke in the water, but I will not be partaking in that. But it's going to be great. We're hearing from, I don't know if you saw the Facebook post, but there's a lot of the runners clubs, and your girlfriend is a barefoot runner, is that right?
Yeah, she's just launched her next adventure. So as soon as I finish my adventure, she's going to start hers, and she's going to run barefoot through the United Kingdom. So she's going to join us on the final stretch as well. She's going to run barefoot.
Oh, that's exciting, because we have some barefoot runners in Gloucester, And one of them, Preston Curtis, the guy that lives on Hammond Street, right up the hill here. And there's a group of them, and so they're gonna they're planning on joining you as well. And they got their word out to their barefoot running club friends too. So it's gonna be
There's quite a bit of interest among runners, especially.
6 miles. I think he said he's. Is he going? Did Preston say he's going to do the 6 miles?
I don't know for sure.
I bet you he will.
Yeah, I
bet you he will.
Is Preston the one at Good Harbor Beach all the time?
Yes. He's the one.
He's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Very fun guy. But
he's a big piping plover helper.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't help but feel, my girlfriend's just trying to show me up, really.
Yeah, she's going to get all the... I know, I'm sorry, Jamie. We derailed Jamie's thunder. Yeah. His thunder is just...
As I'm running there with my shoes, she's just going to be looking at me like, this is pathetic.
Oh, goodness. So right now, I want to give a shout out. Are you going to be staying at the Beauport Hotel that night?
Yes, so they've given us a room, me and Anna, for the night.
That's
and
wonderful.
I think it's like a beachfront view.
Yep.
And I haven't seen Anna in over 3 months, so I think that's like, what a gesture.
That's awesome. You're going to love it.
It's gorgeous. Beautiful. It's a gorgeous hotel, and it's going to be right where you're going to be able to see right where the finish line is from the deck there. And
right.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh.
That's
so we want to, I wanted to give them
while I was on the phone, actually, I was thinking, I don't know if it is possible. Do you have anyone that's like a pro photographer that's going to be near the end? Just because, this is probably going to be the most magical time in my life. It'd be great to look back on like some amazing pictures.
We don't, not just a, we also have a videographer. And Good Morning Gloucester, the blog, is very photo-centric. We have about 20 contributors, and I bet you we'll probably have five or six of our great photographers that are going to be, following and finishing.
Why am I even asking? I better just shut up.
There's no such thing as a bad question. Hey, wait a second. You know how he got off track because all of our other interviews, he said, that's a brilliant question. And I haven't got one,
brilliant.
That's a brilliant question yet. I feel like I'm failing.
Today. You have no brilliance today.
No brilliance. Jeez, I'm really messing up, I guess. No, but we also have our friends at Cape Angie Clay are making a couple of banners. One for you to kind of stride through, a breakaway banner when you get to the finish line.
Yeah.
And another one. So people should come down because he's making a big banner that people can sign and you can take back with you as a remembrance.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and they're sponsoring that, and Pat and Jimmy Dalpiaz you've been working with Pat. Was really responsible for going over there and making that happen. Pat, I'm the voice, but Pat behind the scenes for this has really been doing a lot, so I want to give her a shout out as well.
Thank you.
She's the nuts and bolts. No, thank you. I'm definitely feeling the love from Gloucester.
Oh, good.
Wait till you come.
Yeah.
So not only are you coming, you're going to stay for a couple days, so... just this, be aware of, there's probably going to be a lot of stalkers that are going to a lot of paparazzi when you go out for dinner in Gloucester. Are you going to wear your cape around town, or are you retiring the cape at the finish line?
Oh, no. I'll keep the Adventure Man costume on all day long. I've got to milk it, haven't I? Because the reality, once I leave Gloucester, it's all over and it's back to normal. So I was just in a family's house, actually, last night, and it came to the dessert, and everyone was getting ice cream. And, of course, I got the ice cream first. Mm-hmm. And the mum looked at me and she said, you may as well enjoy this while it lasts.
That's about right.
That's a good summary.
I have to think it's going to be absolutely surreal the morning he wakes up.
How that's going to feel. That's
the morning you wake up after.
Every step you take that day is going to be memorable.
Yeah, I would think. What part of this has sunk in? I guess you still, it's no slouch. You still have three marathons to run, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's I'm actually down to two now. So I'm going to do two, and then, well, I guess it's like two and a, and then a 97%, and then I'll leave like the 6 miles at the end. So it's funny, I haven't actually let it set in because I've still got two marathons to go, and with the pain I'm feeling, I think I've just got it. It's still going to be a slog. I'm still going to get through it. And then I've got it. I think once I get these two out of the way and I've got that 6 mile left, that's when I'll be like, right, we're done.
Yeah.
Let's just enjoy. Right. Enjoy. Because the first six miles are actually great fun. And then after that, it all goes downhill.
What are you doing for pain management? Are you taking Advil? What kind of things are you doing for your pain management?
That's a really good question.
Victory!
Yeah. In fact, let's give you the golden star for the best question of the interview.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Do you know what? It is a brilliant question, because the reason why I never take any pain medication whatsoever, and I want to feel it. I want to feel exactly what the pain is like, how bad it is, where it is. And I don't want to take that away. And two reasons, really, is that one, I think if you take the pain away, you don't know if you're creating a bigger problem. But also, I think that's where Adventure Man thrives. More pain, the better.
I love it.
And, it's your superpower. One of your superpowers.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly right. And you know what? There's so many kids in hospital that are going through so much more, and I remember being in hospital, and as kids that's where you thrive. Like, it's like there's no challenge bigger, being a sick kid, because it's, I don't know, when you're a kid you just crack on, as you get older you're a bit like, oh, I've got pain here. Kids just crack on,
right?
And so I don't know, there's something in that. It's definitely where the magic happens. So I say bring on the pain. It just helps fuel you.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, God bless you. My goodness.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. So, we haven't mentioned it in this interview yet, but there are links at the top of Good Morning. If you go to www.goodmorninggloucester.com, it's stickied to the top of the page, all of the details. Like where, when, what, why, where you can meet Jamie to come in on the finish of the race. Because it's amazing to me. Like I post these things and it has click here for the details, and literally two comments down, it'll say, what are the details? And I want to pull my hair out.
Yeah. Well, you have pulled your hair out. So.
But like, so we can't say, it seems like we can't say it enough. You can go to Adventure Man on Facebook.com. Facebook, look up Adventure Man. You'll see you'll see Adventure Man's, the details there. Good Morning Gloucester, it's sticky to the top. You don't have to do any scrolling. It's right there for you. I just embedded his live tracker.
Oh, I noticed that. I saw that, yes.
So if people don't know, I think this is the coolest technology. I don't even know where you found it, but you have a live tracker.
Yeah, that's really enhanced the experience for people like us who are watching from a distance.
Yeah, you can see exactly where you are. So the day of that live tracker, if, say, you're just going about your daily business and you're like, oh, I'm not really sure exactly what time, you can look at that. You can update that live tracker and get out into the street and cheer him on as he's coming in if you're not going to do the run, right?
Right.
Exactly, yeah. I'll have the live tracker going, and that's the best way to stalk. Actually, I love stalkers.
Oh, goodness gracious. So your first meal, what is it going to be?
We're in Gloucester.
Yeah, we're in Gloucester, seafood capital of the world.
I'm going to have to let you advise on that.
Lobster.
Do you like, well, don't runners eat pasta and stuff like that?
Not when they're done.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't need to carbo load at this point.
Don't look at me, because I don't know what runners
he
do.
He might need to carbo load after not seeing his girlfriend for 3 months.
He may need to. There are plenty of places that can help him with that, yes.
Do you know what I think I need? I've lost all my fat. There's just nothing on me. I've wasted away.
You know, I do notice how different you look in the current pictures than from the earlier pictures.
Yeah, but you weren't exactly fat to begin with.
No,
not
like, yeah, no, but...
But yeah, you can tell that your body fat, your was it BPI? What was it? BMI. It must be like zero, like very low, very, very low, obviously.
Yeah. So if Gloucester could fatten me up, that'd be great.
We're going to work on it.
Coming to the right place.
Yeah, you're coming to the right place. Yeah, Beauport Hotel is fantastic. You're going to be there the first night anyway. And then. The choices are amazing. I would advise you to take a stroll down Main Street, which is walking distance from where you're. It's the Beauport Hotel is basically part of downtown, so you'll be able to. There's all coffee shops and great mm-hmm. restaurants all down that
amazing.
Street.
Amazing. And are the school kids now? Can they make it on time for the 4 o'clock finish at the Gloucester Memorial Statue?
Yes. And we've heard from the Rock.
Well, I contacted them. Haven't heard directly back yet. The schools, the two local schools.
Parents, though, the parents have been chiming.
But I'm hearing about it. Yes, I'm seeing responses from parents, and the time wise, they will have time to get there.
Yes.
Good.
They get out of school between 2:30. And like 3:15, so they'll be, and the schools aren't that far from where, you know, Hammond Castle or Stageport Park. What a beautiful, I'm telling you right now, I'm sure you've seen some beautiful vistas on this, I mean, you have to have, but you're going to finish in a beautiful, beautiful place.
There's no way as good as Gloucester, there is that really?
Yeah. Are you talking about Gloucester, England or Gloucester? This is a trick question, Kim, so Kim is one of our best photographers, and she's with us. I'm sorry, I didn't introduce her. What's the light going to be like at 4 o'clock?
It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be softening up a little bit, so it's just going to be exquisite.
Yeah.
It's going to be perfect.
It's going to be perfect.
I didn't introduce her, I guess. Yeah. I didn't even do the intro of the podcast.
No, you didn't.
Guys, GloucesterCast 329 right now.
Where is he? Hi, Jamie.
Yeah, Kim just... He can't see. He's not like... We're just taping this for us. But
also, I wanted to tell him there's so little hills between Rhode Island, all along the South Shore, if he's going up through the South. I mean, it's pretty flat.
Are you in Norwood right now, or are you planning on, or you're starting out, or no, you're getting to Norwood today?
Is it Plainfield? I think I'm in Plainfield.
You're going to go from Plainfield to, you're planning on stopping in Norwood tonight?
I'm going to finish right near Boston Children's Hospital.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Today?
Wow.
Today.
Oh, wow.
And then the next day I should be landing into the Manchester by the Sea.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Those are ambitious days, both of them. Oh, it's so exciting.
So great. Wow. Well, listen, I know you have a tight schedule today, and I appreciate you taking time out for us.
Yes, thank you so much.
I'm just going to give a few more shout-outs, because I have them listed quickly, to the mayor of Gloucester and the police chief of Gloucester, Ringo Tarr, who's working on getting the audio system for the finish. The Beauport Hotel, Sherry Zizek and Ray Johnston, Maggie Rosa, who I think you're going to be staying with subsequent days, James and Anna Eves from Cape Ann G. Clay that made your banners, Cape Ann Chamber that's getting involved, the Chamber of Commerce that's Carrie McKenna.
Yeah.
So I just want to get that. Is there anything else in closing before you get off on with your day that you want to add?
That is incredible. Like, honestly, like, I love to hear all those names. It does. It takes so many people to make the magic happen. So
all the businesses have been like, this is fantastic. We want to help. We haven't had to go crawling on our knees or anything. They've really been great about.
I think that's a testament to his demeanor and his
public persona and
absolutely.
Yeah.
Jamie, is there anything you want to add in closing?
No, just thank you.
All right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Stay healthy, please. We need you here.
Yeah, we don't want to wheel you in.
No, we don't want to wheel. Well, if we have to wheel you in, we'll wheel you in. But we're really looking forward to it. And congratulations on everything you've done so far. And it's going to be great at Children's Hospital, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I'll try not to cry too much at the end.
All right. Well, listen. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jamie.
Okay. Oh, actually, one request.
Sure. Yeah.
one request.
Sure.
I would absolutely love a beer at the end.
Oh, you're coming to a town that doesn't have any.
We can. This is a dry town.
Did we not mention that?
They do. You know, one of the things that they say about this town is that it's a drinking town with a fishing problem.
Yeah.
So I think you're coming to
the boatport where the reception's going to be. That's going to work out perfectly.
Yeah, but we got to hand them a beer at the finish.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What kind of beer is your favorite kind of beer? So you can
Why
make
don't
sure.
you give me like the most Gloucester beer there is?
Oh, Fisherman's Brew. All right, I'll get a growler. Do you know what a growler is?
Oh yeah, I think I've heard of that. It sounds good. Anyway.
It's like a jug, a glass jug of I'll buy you. I'll get it for him.
Yeah, okay.
Of Fisherman's Brew. Are you an IPA guy? Are you a stout guy? Are you a?
I'm a stout guy.
Okay, I'll get the Fisherman's Ale. It's called the Navigator. It's dark. It's
and
a stout.
It's made by Cape Ann.
It's made. Right. About maybe 200 yards from where the finish is. Where it's actually produced.
And it's called the Navigator.
I know. Doesn't that make that
deal? Yeah, there we go. Right. Brilliant.
And I can't navigate myself. So if I drink lots of them, maybe that will give me everything I need to navigate.
I promise I'll have a growler of the Navigator at the finish line for you. And and we're looking forward. I hope. Oh, and looking forward to maybe we'll have breakfast we're gonna have you in the office. Either the next morning or whatever.
Right, but in this
setting. So we're looking forward to that as well.
I can't wait for that.
All right. Listen, go get them, and please stay safe and stay healthy.
Yeah.
Talk to you soon.
Brilliant. Speak to you soon. Thank you again. Bye.
Bye. All right. I'm going to start. I'm putting in our intro music because I was so flustered at the beginning.
Okay, yeah, we got all right. Off track.
I was so nervous. I don't want to mess up the big guests.
Yeah, well, when you know he's waiting on the other end.
Right.
It's,
you did good. That was great.
I think we did good.
It was wonderful.
Pat, hold on. Before I forget, I'm going to give you money right now.
What for?
For the growler.
Oh, yeah. I have to go down there anyhow and fill up a different growler. So, yeah.
Do you know how much growlers?
No, I don't. I'll tell you, though.
All right, I'm going to give you 25 just in case.
Okay, all right.
How big is a growler?
It's like a quart.
Oh, do I have one over
half
there?
Gallon.
Pat, look on the other side of this.
All right, let's see.
There's a growler right there.
Can you take somebody else? Oh, it's filled, I think.
Oh,
there's something
shit.
In
yeah,
it.
They're not going to fill
it. Oh,
that.
Gross.
Yeah, no, we're not.
I don't know what the hell is in there. Someone else's growler. Gonna take some.
We'll do.
Yeah, I don't think they'd. I don't think they'd appreciate someone else's growler. That was a gift.
Especially with beer in it.
There wasn't beer in that one. There was coffee in there. That was from Union Square Donuts. And I forget who gave it to me.
How
but
long
some,
ago was that?
It's been here a long time. There's quite a layer.
Years.
There's quite a layer of dust on it.
It's an experiment now. It's a science experiment at this point.
Yeah, you should bring it to your daughter.
The thing is, you take the lid off that, it might explode. You know, just get in there any flammable material.
There's a lot of things in this office that highly flammable.
Well, so shocking to the listeners, I'm sure.
She is so mean to me. All right, here we go. Last night, I'm going to introduce you guys. Pat Dalpiaz.
Good morning.
Kim Smithies with us. I'm your host, Joey Shimataro. Last night, Pat, Jimmy, myself, Kim, Ralph.
Kim DiGiorgio.
Ralph DiGiorgio, Chris McCarthy, Stephen Kim Reed, Nikki LaFada, Felicia Barry. And Safatia's sisters.
Yes, it was.
It was at Cape Ann Brewing. It was the. Pat, I'm going to give this to you.
Okay. It was a speakeasy scandal held at Cape Ann Brewing, sponsored, hosted really by the mayor to raise money for I think it's Crush Cancer is the local.
It was also Alzheimer's.
And there were they had sold out their tickets. I'm not sure what the number of people that were there or the tickets that they sold, but the vast majority were all dressed up. It was really
roaring 20s.
Are you going to post pictures? Did you take pictures?
We just took a few.
You know what's so funny is like, you know, we were there. We were enjoying ourselves, and I didn't even think to take pictures. I think Safatia takes more pictures.
The mayor posted
She posted
lots of pictures.
Yeah. That's what she does.
Yeah, yeah. She covered it very, very well. But it was fun. They had, I'm sure they raised a good amount of money. They fed us. They presented us with roles to play and a very loose story to follow to try to fill in the gaps. And there was a murder victim. Somebody got murdered, so we were to figure out who
was the murderer.
And guess who done it?
Who done it?
Somebody in this room.
Oh, you?
I ended up being the murderer.
The axe murderer.
Yeah. I ended up being the murderer.
And nobody voted for him. You had to make a guess.
No, so at the end, they give you slips like, who do you think did it?
And did you know you were the murderer? You knew.
I didn't know. So it came in two acts. Okay. The first act where they kind of lay out the storyline, and everybody has a part to play.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's money. So they give you this fake money. Everybody starts out with $300 in fake money. And the woman that was running it, you know, said, you can get this money from anywhere. Beg, borrow, or steal. And people were...
They were shameless.
Shameless trying to steal money from each other.
Really? There was a little shill there. He's about 9 years old, I'm going to say. And he's going around being all innocent, need a pen, you know, to help. And he's stealing money.
Yeah.
And pickpocketing.
So, is the goal to get a lot of money?
Well, there was a prize for whoever raised the most money.
And that person did. Whoever, I don't know how she got all... My money was plucked right out of my...
That was an inside job then.
But yeah.
That was an inside job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was a lot of fun and it raised money for the cause.
It was a fun night.
How much did you guys raise?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, for the actual cause or the money that the fake money?
Oh, both.
No, I don't remember.
I don't think we know.
The tickets are $75 each. It's $150 a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Safathia was the victim's wife. She was playing the club owner.
Yeah.
Some people took their roles very seriously.
I had a hard time because, so my role was very, they probably should have gave it to someone else. My role was very detailed.
Yeah, it
was. And so the pages that gave me the instructions on what my role was.
Right.
Was in like 0.4 type, like you know how we always talk about people that write things in small font for old people that can't see.
Somebody from the younger generation at the brew pub must have written it.
I think this is like a troop that comes in and does these things.
The lighting wasn't very good, but there were two women in our group. We were divided into these groups, and Joey was the head of our group. And two of the women in the group, whom I hadn't met before last night, kept leaning over to me and saying, are you sure? And they're pointing at Joey. Are you sure he's not one of the troop? And I'm like,
really?
Yes. Oh, my God. They were drilling me. I said, yes, I'm 100% sure. So who is he? And so I told them. I think
that they were part of the troop. There was about six people that I would have pointed to at the end of the night that I said, I've never seen these people in Gloucester ever. And they were coming back to me a bunch of times, and I was like,
eh. Perhaps
because I wasn't giving out a vibe like I was anything special there.
No, clearly you were friends with a number of other people, but they were very suspicious of you from the start, and so at the end I'm going, well, you were right. You were right to be suspicious, but they thought you were a member of the troop, so you must have done a very good job.
I don't know. I would have gave my performance a 3 on a scale from 1 to 10.
Yeah, but you weren't up there. He didn't have to do the dance routine.
Yeah, so I...
Loosely.
So I was a producer. My role was, I was a producer that was having an affair with the victim's wife. Okay. And so Safathia was the victim's wife.
Okay.
And so I was supposed to gather a troupe and put in a dance routine. It didn't have to be a dance routine. Of course, I put Kate's in it and her little flapper outfit.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
going to be a dance routine.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like I had him
saddled with the rest of us, but
I had to do like almost like a you know how you like the flappers they do the thing with their hands to the knees back and forth.
Yeah,
and then I had them do a twirl, and then I had them turn around and shake their ass, and it was good.
Yeah, it was.
It was a good time. I'm happy.
It was a fun night.
So thanks to Safathia and Kate Van Bruin for being great hosts. So yesterday, I had it in my head. So is her name Danielle, the girl that owns Pastayo Via Corta?
Yes,
Danielle. So last month, I think she was gone for like a month. She closed down the shop and she went to Italy. So she went to all the places where she sources what she considers to be the very best, no compromise ingredients. And she was taught. So
she had a whole following. She has a huge following on Instagram.
Yeah.
And she was posting every day. I didn't know that.
She's posted. Oh, she's worth a follow. She's great. And so she's not only was she posting pictures, she was detailing everything that was going on. It was a great travel monologue through pictures and words. If you go back to watch them, they're worth seeing. So anyway, she was talking about the sardines that she sources. So yesterday, I had the afternoon off. It was kind of breezy, and I had it in my head. Chris McCarthy was coming over, and I had it in my head. He loves sardines. We always have conversations. We both
love sardines.
And I said, I was walking downtown, and I saw that she was open. Well, she wasn't open yet, but she had been open for a couple of days. So I went, it was 10:30, and I knocked on her. I went to open the door, but it was locked. But I saw that they were inside.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And I kind of like, all right, I'll just walk down to Virgilio's, and I'll get a loaf of bread, because that's how I like to eat the
sardines.
And then come back.
So then I'll come back. So I come back. You know, it only took me 5 minutes to get the loaf of bread, and I'm standing there. It was cold yesterday. It was cold and breezy. And I'm standing right in the doorway, and they're working behind me. Like, you know, I feel them working, even though I'm not looking there, because I don't want to be, I don't want to have that embarrassing thing where you go to open the door and it doesn't open. I didn't want that to happen twice.
Yeah.
So I sat there, and I'm staring at the clock that's on the building above David Cox's Main Street Art and Antiques. There's a clock on the building there. Minute by minute, it's getting colder and colder, my nose running, and just like, I'm like, I wonder if they see me here. Like, why wouldn't they open the door for me? Like, they should open the door for me. I'm like, so now it became a test of wills that I wasn't gonna knock on the door to ask if I could just get a thing of sardines. I was gonna see in my head, I was gonna see if they were gonna go to the door, open it and say, oh, did you want to get something? Because I'm right here, I'm just working away. But if it's just something quick, I could hand it to you and you could be on your way. As it turns out, they never opened the door. But the test of wills, I was not walking away without the can of sardines.
Oh, my goodness.
So I got the can of sardines. And what
How did you get it if they didn't open the door?
No, I waited until 11. She opened at 11.
Oh.
So she gave me a tutorial. So these sardines are packed in salt, layers of salt. And water, not oil.
Uh-huh.
It's just water.
Okay.
Which I thought they were always packed in olive oil.
Right.
And salted or whatever.
Right.
So she gave me a lesson. I didn't realize that they still had, they had to be deboned. They were the sardines, but they still had the little bone running through them. And you had to, so she gave, and it's on her Instagram highlights,
how to do it.
And thankfully, if I would have brought this, it was a $22 for a can of sardines this big.
Yeah.
But they're the best sardines that you can get.
Right, I bought, yeah.
And
there's
a technique to debone them, and it worked out just fine. But not only do you have to debone them, you get them. You rinse them under cold water.
Yeah, that's what
you put them in a bowl of cold water for 20 minutes.
Oh.
Rinse them again.
They puff out. I don't know if they really puffed out, but then they get this.
I think there's a tremendous amount of salt there.
Yeah.
So then you run your fingernail through on the belly.
Yeah.
And you separate it. You peel it back like butterfly it. And then the tail comes out. It's just like what they basically are tiny whiting.
Yeah.
If you've ever taken the bone out of a whiting, it's the simplest thing. The meat falls right apart from it when you cook it. But they were out of this world.
So then
did you put it on some Virgilio's bread?
So what I did was, so I took it out. Yeah. I cleaned them. I laid them flat. I put them in a bowl. I put a little bit of olive oil. And I only took, all you needed was six fish. Between the two of us, that was plenty. Yeah, I mean, they're pretty, you know.
And how many come in a can, in the tin?
I only took out how many I needed. It's a glass. It was a glass jar. And I would
probably... Oh, so you can keep it. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And she said, only take out what you need. So I took out six. There was probably... I'm going to guess that there's 18 to 20 fish in there.
So it's a couple lunches there.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, whatever, it's fine.
That, you know, then divide that by three lunches, right?
And two people.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it wasn't the only thing we ate, but yeah.
Yeah, no.
So then you put it on the thing, you put a little olive oil, and I refrigerated it for maybe 45 minutes or something. Yeah. Then I got the bread out. I laid them on the bread. A little drizzle of olive oil. Some grated Romano, some red pepper flakes, and a little black pepper.
Mm,
oh, that's a meal. Yeah. I'm telling you, it was delicious.
That sounds good.
So if you want good sardines, don't go before 11, but go to Pasta Ivy Acorda.
Yeah, she's
fabulous.
She is fabulous.
And you know whatever you're getting there. You know, the places like that, there's no glory in being the cheap place. There's no glory.
I guess not. Right.
You might as well carry the best stuff that there is, and people recognize that and they're willing to pay.
I love going there to get my ingredients for my sauce because it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and she explains, so you know, everything that she has in that store, she has a story behind and why she selected it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I didn't realize she was a chef at Shorten
Maine. Yeah, when they first started. Yeah, she came to dinner. She and Olivia are friends, and she came to dinner one night. And it was just very impromptu, like, and I was like, oh my God, you invited Danielle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she loved it. She was like, nobody ever cooks for me. And but she brought the most wonderful appetizers. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, like delicious.
Lucky you.
Yeah, it was really.
Yeah.
Cheeses, bread. I mean, she just, it was just really nice. It was very sweet.
Very sweet. So there's that. We there's a what you called a controversy. I heard about this, but I didn't read the article.
You didn't read the
foxes being killed at Duxbury Beach to protect the piping plovers and other shorebirds. That's how you described it to me.
Yeah. So somebody posted a thing on Facebook, a petition in Duxbury when she found out that the people who manage Duxbury Beach were having to take out a few foxes, and they killed like 10. And then, you know, 3 years ago they had to kill like three, or, and people don't understand, there are predator management programs at every beach on the eastern shore, on the eastern seaboard, so they've had to take out predators at Crane Beach, at Parker River National Wildlife Refuge, at Rhode Island beaches, at New Jersey beaches. And people think, they hear that and they get a real bee in their bonnet, and they don't understand that it is legal to hunt coyotes and foxes in Massachusetts. That's just part of the culture here. I mean, that is, it's perfectly legal to do that. So
someone or some group determined which ones are not worthy of protecting, and which ones are predators, and which ones are not.
This is where it becomes very sensitive to people, because and I've heard people say things like, "Well, we should just let nature take its course."
Well, yeah.
But there really isn't anything natural about a beach that was shorebird habitat and is now a public beach, because the reason why we have coyotes, crows, foxes, gulls, and
snowy owls.
And snowy owls. No, not snowy owls. That's a different thing. They're predating on shorebirds because they're there for the garbage. So what's natural about all the garbage that's left behind on the beach? We wouldn't have all these species there if we didn't have all that garbage. And the thing with foxes and coyotes is they're not endangered. They're not threatened. There's not like a minimal amount of these creatures.
There must be some areas where there's a lot more foxes, because around here,
you
see them very rarely, but you see them.
Yeah, you do see them,
but very rarely.
We had one. I have a post going up tonight, and I can send you the short link. We had a fox. I haven't seen a fox in East Gloucester in 6 or 7 years, and we had a fox in our yard the other night. And
oh, you did? Because I saw one. I saw my first fox in forever. Right. I think a couple months ago. I think I'm passing over golf course.
Golf course, yeah. And was snooping around underneath our holly bush, and they are denning closer to people's homes because of the coyote threat. So, because they compete for the same habitat, so now they've moved.
I'm surprised that the coyotes haven't kept them out.
There aren't that many instances of coyotes killing foxes, but they compete for the same feeding and feeding habitat and territory. So I don't think it's these wildlife managers who have to take out coyotes or fox, the few that they have to. It's a very sensitive topic, and it's the action of very, very last resort. They would rather not do it.
What other techniques do they use to get them away?
So, for example, like with a peregrine falcon that was predating on shorebirds, they were able to move that because that's not a mammal. So they moved that. They moved the peregrine falcon.
They captured it and moved it.
But it's illegal to do that with small mammals. So, like at Cranes Beach, they have electronic fencing.
Okay.
And that helps keep it out. But at Duxbury Beach, because of the way Duxbury Beach is, they can't use electronic
fencing. I was just wondering
what. You know what they have nowadays?
Yeah.
They have those. They're kind of like towers, and they have sighting things that automatically sight, and they sense motion, and then they have lasers, and you can have lasers set up on big mounts on the beaches, and they could just zap everything everything that's not a plover could get zapped. We could fry them.
Everything with four legs.
Not just four, two. We could get sunbathers, volleyball players.
Okay, yeah.
We could get all of them.
Sounds very Star Wars.
No, but
people are going to take that. They're going to yell at me like I'm serious.
No, but Pat asked a good question, because like at Duxbury Beach, they can't use the wire enclosures that we use at Good Harbor Beach, and they also have to stop using those at Crane Beach because, like the great horned owls at Cranes Beach realized they could perch on the edge of the wire enclosure and pick off the adults.
Oh, yeah.
So they were, and that's even more of a serious problem the adults are the ones making the babies.
Right.
So, you know, it's always this like, as one, you know, as they learn, then you have to think of something new. So truly, killing the foxes is the very last thing that the wildlife managers want to do.
Yeah.
You
know, well, that's what makes it so salacious of a story.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Because I know that you know that they don't want to do that. Right.
No. They've
chosen their, you know, what they can, you know, the bird that they have as conserved. Protected species.
They're obligated by, the wildlife managers are obligated by law to protect the birds. That's part of the Endangered Species Act.
I think what people worry about is how psychotic you get with this. And, you know, and you know how you always say they're not going to shut down the beach. Right. When they shut down the beach, people are going to be very upset.
Yeah.
And if you say, well, they're mandated by law, so no one should be upset because it's mandated by law. They shut down Good Harbor Beach, and people are going to be like...
The only reason why they would shut down Good Harbor Beach is if they're not going to enforce the dog restrictions. That's the only reason why. And it would be totally it would be totally on the city if they're not enforcing the rules, then... And that's been, you know, it's taken a couple of years to get to this point of people understanding that. So if they're not enforcing the rules, that's what happened in Scarborough, Massachusetts. Right. They knew that there was a problem, a continual problem with the dogs. It was recorded. It went on for a couple of years. The town wasn't doing that much to help the situation, and that's when they were shut down. That's how the beaches get shut down.
Pat and Jimmy went to the new, is it a breakfast or did they do lunch as well?
Both. They did breakfast and lunch. Goombadis. Am I saying that right? I don't know the lingo. It's in the Brown Building, which I had never been inside. So just going inside the Brown Building alone
was
fun for me because I had no idea how many businesses are in there.
I know.
And so that was an education for me to go in there and also to get the feel for the building.
Yeah.
Itself. So it's upstairs in the the Brown Building, and it
a lot of people call that Brown's Mall.
Brown's Mall. Oh, that makes sense because it's got the shops in it and places of business. And
right across from the police station. So you go in the front doors.
Yes.
You go up a set of stairs, and it would be the Gumbadi's would be facing you.
Yes. Yes.
I think you can also get there from Pleasant Street. I think there's a side door that would come in from just to the left of where the Pleasant Street Tea Company would be.
There's a sign on the office or the location across the hall that says Pleasant Street Tea Company on it.
Yeah.
But it looked dark. It didn't look like it was...
as used, yeah.
Yeah. But it was, you know, clean and friendly. I think they advertise, you know, that it's very... You know, it's where neighbors come to meet or something like that. And it was...
It was like that.
It was clean and neat and small. It's small.
You can sit down.
Sit down. There's 6 or 7 tables.
Oh, nice.
There's a
Do you know where it was where the Savory Skillet was there for years?
Yeah.
And then, I forget. The girl, Melissa? What was
she
her
was
name?
Baking, right? And then she went over to...
The sweets, something sweets or something.
Yeah.
And they were doing a nice job. They didn't make it. And then...
Well, that baker went over to...
she was cooking in the Alchemy Building.
Right.
What do we call it? What's the latest? The latest incarnate.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Belly. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And then Happy Belly closed. So now maybe Gumbadi's is nice to have.
Oh, yeah. It's not the same people. Though.
No, it's not the same people, but maybe it's nice to have right there at that corner to have something.
But what I wanted to share with you was we said to Jim, it was Jim and I for lunch, and so Jim gave her one of the Good Morning Gloucester stickers, and she says, "Oh, we love Good Morning Gloucester." So
that's nice.
So that was nice to hear.
Yeah,
somebody
nice.
I talked to yesterday went to Sherry's Corner, and they said they had a phenomenal meal. I forget who it was. I haven't made it over there yet.
Oh, you would.
Were you in on that conversation?
No, I wasn't. But we've been there a number of times.
Donna loves it there, right?
Yeah,
loves it there. But that would have been obvious to me that she said it was someone that wasn't a Magnolia person that went there and said it was phenomenal. So shout out to them. Kim, you brought this up. I saw that there was an article. I didn't read it about the Jonah crab. There's a big push
to invigorate a
Jonah crab
industry
in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I just wanted to know your take on it because it just seemed
so. From what I should have read the article, but I didn't read it. But I think the take was because there was a couple years ago. And I think that what you said it to me was, oh, I didn't realize that there was this big resurgence in Jonah crabs.
Right.
But, and I'm not sure how, all I know is this. For years, there was always a handful of Jonah crabs that got landed in the port. 2 years ago, 2017, there was an incredible jump up in Jonah crab landings of every boat, all places where they were all fishing. So it was, it's unexplainable to me, but boats that were bringing in, what? So there's the boats that were bringing in 3 pounds, suddenly were bringing in 30 or 40 pounds.
Yeah.
The boats that were bringing in 40 or 50 pounds were bringing in 400 or 500 pounds.
Wow. That's
it was amazing. This incredible amount of, like, we were
right. Handling.
Big jump.
Where did they
like
all
this
come
from? And then it was just right. 1 year.
Right. Huh.
And then the next year, right back to normal, like a guy bringing in 2 or 3 Jonah crabs.
Right. Just
or,
like it
or
had been historically.
Just
right.
How it had been historically. And
right.
It's the same way this year.
Wow.
So I don't know if...
Same way that it's the slower amount. Not
yeah, same
greater.
Way that it's slower.
Yeah.
And I don't know if what happened, you know how government moves kind of slowly? Like,
yeah.
There was this big amount of Jonah crabs. You know,
oh,
and then
so
they're like, oh, we need to do this thing.
Right.
And by the time they appropriate the money and get the plan in place,
right.
Like, it kind of like dropped off. And like, but they already had done all the groundwork to get this program into place.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. But...
It's kind of interesting to
right
follow
now,
it, though.
There's just not enough Joe. Well, I don't think right now that there's enough Joe.
You're not seeing it.
I'm not seeing it. But there was, if that was a sustained thing, and I'm telling you, like, I've been here for 42 years now, 42 years down this dock. And up until this 1 year, and then one season, and then nothing.
And then nothing.
Just crazy. I've never seen a hyper explosion, and then.
It's so interesting because it's like an eruption in like land. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you have eruptions.
Well, they say
insects or whatever.
They say, and if you've seen, have you ever seen these things on the Discovery Channel? Have you ever seen like migrations of crabs?
Oh yes.
Where they kind of like they say lobsters move this way as well. That they migrate, when they migrate, they bunch up. And there's like miles that you could like walk on the crabs or the lobsters.
Right,
so maybe they took a diversion this one time and came in this way.
Right, currents could have brought them in or whatever.
And just
that's so
inexplainable to me. Huh. And it's very, very interesting.
Can I tell you one time? I don't know what this was about. Like, I never really looked into it. But one time when Liv was really little, we were at this place called Lambert's Cove in Martha's Vineyard. And we were, and it's just very flat, very shallow. And we were, like, swimming around.
Horseshoe crabs?
Well, suddenly there were millions of horseshoe crabs.
I was going to say, that's a...
Like a week later, we were there, and there were millions of baby lobsters everywhere.
They were probably feeding.
They were like this big. Like,
right, the horseshoe crabs probably laying their eggs, and then the baby lobsters probably going there to eat them.
Wow, it was just an incredible thing to see. I didn't know anything about them at the time, but I'd love to find out more about why.
Well, there was that lady. Happens. There's that lady that Catherine always talks about that is big into the horseshoe crabs.
Oh, Deborah Kramer.
Yeah, she would probably be able to give you some information. Remember, she was doing the thing asking people for your memories of how many horseshoe crabs you saw. Right. And that was like, for me, the last time I saw any horseshoe crabs around here, but it was regularly, was in Oaks Cove, on the outside beach of Rocky Neck there.
Right.
Where the causeway is.
Right.
You know, we used to see them there back in the 70s.
Yeah. Well, you know why that's happening, right? Because they're bled out for the... their blood is very important for in the biomedical...
I was hearing... I heard a story about that. It was fascinating. Right.
They had cancer inhibiting properties or something.
Right, and so they're bled out. And the industry is not supposed to bleed them out as much as they do.
Take a sample.
They're just supposed to take a certain amount, but they're taking too much, and it's depleting the population, so soon there won't be...
I thought it was just they were taking it so that they could study it, not that they're
they use it. Yeah, it's used in... countless medications now.
Oh,
countless.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they better figure out a way to
regenerate
them.
I think so, too.
Reproduce it.
Deborah's actually in a big, huge battle with the industry right now over it because the population is so depleted.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, really depleted.
We have a new police chief, Ed Conley.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Congratulations
to
him.
Did you meet him? Yeah, that's congratulations.
Pat said
he was wonderful. I don't know why I didn't make the connection, but when I was contacting the Manchester by the Sea town authorities to alert them about what was happening with the Adventure Man, and I got a very nice email back from Sheriff or Ed Connolly. Chief Connolly.
Because he was the chief in Manchester.
Right. And he was very gracious and very. I was so relieved to get such a nice email back, and he's in transition, of course, now, so it works out perfectly.
Right.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Chief McCarthy was wonderful. I thought he was.
Well, he was another Plover advocate.
Yeah, he did take a real interest in them. He used to walk the beach every morning, and he was really...
Nice guy.
Very, nice, super nice guy, really helpful. And I understand that the new police chief is a conservationist as well. So,
there you go.
A self-proclaimed conservationist.
So welcome.
So he will do no wrong because he's got Kim's blessing, so he's good. All right, I'm going to have in the show notes, I'll have a link to all of the information. Okay, we should say this. I don't know if we touched on this in the interview.
I don't think we did.
So, do you want me to go through it? Okay, well, I'll go through it. Pat gave me these show notes. Adventure Man Arrival is getting real. Runners can meet Wednesday afternoon at Sweeney Park in Manchester for the 6 mile run, or Hammond Castle, who's given us the green light to park right there for a 2.25 mile run, or at Stage Fort Park for the last 3/4 mile run over the hill, where Adventure Man will finish his 210 marathon journey across the country.
5,500 miles.
And come in
at the statue.
And you'll have the ability to run in with him and finish up.
Or cheer along the route. Which is wonderful as well.
Yep. He hopes to finish at Fisherman's Memorial around 4 o'clock. I'm going to put a link. Just go to the show notes. Don't say what is the thing. I'm going to have a link in the show notes with all of the details. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm posting, click here for details, and literally two comments down, well, when is he going to be here? I'm like...
And I'm sorry I don't have more specific information about what times to meet at those points.
Right.
I did some ballpark guessing on that. I'm not a runner. And I don't think this is going to be a typical run anyway. I think it's going to be more relaxed.
Usually,
yeah. Events, so it's very hard for me to tell. But I do know that he wants to finish at 4 o'clock. So if you work backwards from there, especially if you're a runner, you're going to have some clue. But I'm thinking 2:30 maybe in Manchester. That's a complete guess on my part.
It says it on his website. We don't have to reinvent this.
Okay.
He's posted the times.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
So yeah. If you're a family with young kids, I would say get there
Hold on. Don't say a word. Because he's written it. Okay. We don't want to guess. We don't need to guess.
No, I'm just saying if you're a family with young kids, get there half an hour before the time that he has.
Right.
That's a great idea. Okay, right. This is what he says from his website. Yeah. Meeting point. Sweeney Park, Manchester by the Sea, 2:30 p.m. 1.7 miles out if you'd like a shorter run. Then meeting point, Hammond Castle, 3:45 p.m. Then meeting point, Stage Fort Park, 4 p.m. Then finishing at the Fisherman's Memorial Statue. Okay, so at approximately 4:15. I agree with Kim. If the meeting point, if you wanted to go from Manchester, I would get there at 2. If it says 2:30, why not? Hang out with other people. If you want to go from Hammond Castle, get there at 3:15. You know, whatever.
Right.
15 minutes, I think 20, 30 minutes is fine.
And maybe you would just check that page the day of.
Right.
You know what I mean? And just
for any updates.
For any updates.
Right. So I'm going to highlight and share... What it says here is here is the info in caps. So if anybody has a hard time, I don't know what else to do. I will seriously.
Oh, you'll still get calls.
I will still get calls. I know. Let me just.
It's like the people that need to be reminded that there's Google.
Let me see. I'm doing this just to make times 2 run. Okay, so this is what it says. Look for this. Here is the info with times 2 run. Join in as Adventure Man finishes his 5,500 mile U.S. run in Gloucester. Please share. There's a link. It's hyperlinked. I'm going to make it red. I'm going to change the color of the font. It's going to be red. Okay. So text color, red. All right. If I get one more, my mind is gonna just explode. So all the details are there, and that's hyperlinked. All right, we are 59 minutes in.
Thank you, and see you all on Wednesday. I hope.
Thank you. See you all on Wednesday, and look to the show notes of this podcast for any more information. The exit music is going right now. Oh, look for the video. I put the video in the show notes as well. So go to the link. That's the lessons. There is a link. Just do it. Please don't ask me what the details are. Please. Not when it's all spelled out. Please don't ask me. One more time, I gotta lose my mind.
Joe, is it going